But as I said, next Monday is the the total eclipse. If you are 2.5 hours away from here, you'll see the total eclipse. Here we'll only see about 96 to 98% of it. But it got me thinking about some of these things that happened, and I want to open this series today. Actually, last night was one of the peak nights. I think the next two or three nights are peak nights for a meteor shower as well. So we've got all this happening together. Last night there were clouds, so nobody got to see the meteor shower, at least not here. But, you know, I started thinking about these celestial events that are taking place, and it got me to thinking about our universe. Got me to thinking about some of the things about God and what He's created. And essentially, you know, if you've not heard about the total eclipse or the meteor shower, I can understand you not hearing about, which is why today the sermon that I'm preaching is kind of about both of those together in some ways. And it's basically entitled Living in the Shadows. That's going to open us up, and then over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about. I think this is going to be about a 4-part series where we talk about the eclipse and different things that are going to happen with that as well. You'll just have to see where we go when we get there, because I'm going to have to see where we go when we get there. This is something that kind of happened in the last couple of days, and I feel like God is leading us down a path. But basically, it got me to thinking about the stars. Over the last few days with the meteor shower and the fact of the sky and the different things that can happen there. But I want to take a look at a few things about our faith and offer some examples today. One of the hardest things that I believe we have to do in life is live in the shadow of someone else. And live in the shadow of another person or of a circumstance. And that's why I was thinking about this, was because the meteor shower, every year we talk, you start hearing about the meteor shower. This year, nobody's heard anything about the meteor shower because of the eclipse. And now all of a sudden, it's like, here's the meteor shower and it's happening. And the eclipse has taken the center stage because it's the first time in 99 years and it's a bigger thing and the sun's closer and the moon and stars. And, you know, we can talk about how big the universe is and how small we are. We can talk about all of these different things over the next few weeks. But each and every one of us today, I think where we start with this is that each and every one of us today wants to feel as though we are seen or recognized for the merit that we have earned. Or, you know, the merit of our own abilities and our talents and our accomplishments. Not because of someone else, but sometimes it's just, it kind of seems to us that no matter what or who we really are, it sometimes always seems to be overshadowed by something that's brighter or another star that's brighter than us. Now, if we use that comparison and we look at that, it's not even that we are living to be seen. I want you to understand that today. I'm not saying that we're trying to be something that needs to be seen. I'm saying that it's a bit of encouragement or recognition that when that comes, it puts some wind in our sails. I mean, if you think back a few weeks ago, I wasn't expecting to get a guitar from this church, but it put a little wind in my sails. It's not about the recognition I received. It's just the fact that it happened. And each one of us knows what it means to hear someone say to us, hear someone say that we're doing a good job, or see someone give us that credit where we think that maybe credit wasn't deserved, but they give it to you because you are encouraged by that. How many of us today, in those times when everything we say, do, accomplish seems to be outshined by brighter lights, do we begin and need to learn this virtue that there is in living an effective life in the shadow? We can effectively live in someone else's shadow. We can effectively live in the shadows of other lives on this earth. The stars don't all shine the same brightness. And we need to understand that today as we move forward. But I want to preach today about how we succeed in living in the shadow of a brighter star, living in the shadow of something that shines brighter than you or I. And that is, we're going to go to the story in Genesis chapter 29. We'll start in verse 15. We're going to look at this story. This is a story that we've probably discussed. Actually, if I'm not mistaken, we have actually discussed this story recently, either in Sunday school or on just in passing conversation with some of the topics that we've discussed. But Genesis chapter 29, starting in verse 15, we see a story of deception. And it's funny to me, if we look at the background of this story, this is the great deceiver, Jacob, the one who deceived many, the one who earned his brother's birthright because he was a deceiver himself, being deceived. And when we look at this story, what we begin to see is there's more to the story than maybe what we've always talked about. But let's start there in verse 15. It says, "Then Laban said to Jacob, 'Because you are my relative, should you therefore serve me for nothing? Tell me, what should your wages be?' Now Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance. Now Jacob loved Rachel, so he said, 'I will serve you 7 years for Rachel, your younger daughter.' Laban said, 'It is better that I give her to you than that I should give her to another man. Stay with me.' So Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed only a few days to him because of the love he had for her. Then Jacob said to Laban, 'Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go into her.' And Laban gathered together all of the men of the place and made a feast. Now it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, brought her to Jacob, and he went into her. And Laban gave his maid Zilpah to his daughter Leah as a maid. So it came to pass in the morning that, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, 'What is this you have done to me? Was it not for Rachel that I served you? Why then have you deceived me?'" Let's pray this morning. Lord God, we thank you for allowing us to come before you this morning. Lord, I pray that your spirit would move in a mighty way today. Lord, I pray that you would be over this service, that your words would be my words. And Lord, that we would see your lesson for us in this scripture today. Lord, we thank you and we praise you and we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And we pray this in the holy, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so here we are. And I've been talking about brighter stars. So let's just go ahead and start this conversation. You got two daughters. You've got Rachel and you've got Leah. Rachel is the younger. Rachel is the one who Jacob falls in. It's actually quite interesting here when we look at this. But let's just think about something for a moment. Brighter stars are a fact of life. Brighter stars are a fact of life. If you don't believe me, just look around you. Let's just be honest with ourselves this morning. They're everywhere. I mean, in reality, brighter stars are everywhere. Now, I'm not necessarily talking about actual stars, except for maybe when we talk about celebrities or athletes. I mean, what do we call them? We call them stars. We call them pro sports stars. We call them celebrity. We call them Hollywood stars. I mean, let's just be honest about it. They're everywhere. Every one of us, without exception, has known what it is to live in the glow of someone else. To live in the shadow, so to speak. Every one of us knows what it is to live in the presence of someone who seems to be able to do everything right. Now, we work with some of them. We go to school with some of them. We compete in athletics with some of them. And they outshine us in academic fields. They outshine us on the athletic field. They just plain outshine others. And there's many different areas that we could look at that today. They exist in our family. They exist within our church. They exist in our community. And sometimes we live next door to them. You know, every one of you, I see some heads nodding out there this morning. I know you know what I'm talking about. That there's someone in your life that you can honestly look back over your life and say, that person was that star for me. that person outshone me every day of my life. That there's, when it comes to siblings, there's always one sibling that seems to be everybody's favorite. When it comes to the story, they often outshine us maybe intellectually or with personality or friendships, career, relationships, wealth, car, houses, you name it. You've probably gone through your entire life and there's always been that star, so to speak, for you. The bottom line is that they seem to shine so brightly, they seem to get so much attention and favor that they seem to be everywhere that you're not. You know, bright stars are everywhere in life, which means we are going to have to come to grips with this today, with the idea of living with them and amongst them. You know, the real problem with a brighter star is not that they seem to get all, it's not that they seem to be brighter. It's to us, they seem to get all the attention. Now, are we really after that attention in our lives? Maybe not. But sometimes it's nice to feel like you have some, right? Sometimes it's nice to feel like you have some attention. Well, let me tell you a little story about the stars. Who knows what the brightest star in our galaxy is? I know somebody in here has got to know the name. It's the closest. The brightest is actually Sirius. The brightest is Sirius. It was named Sirius. It's 8.6 light years from Earth, and it outshines every other star in the Milky Way. It's located in the Canis Major constellation. Out of all the stars that we see, either with the naked eye or through a telescope, Sirius is just brighter. It outshines everything. When you look up into the sky in the northern hemisphere, Sirius is going to be the first star to grab your attention. We all know what it is. It's the first star we see at night. It's the one that shines. It's the one that we see brighter. I mean, some, I think, call it the North Star. I mean, there's many different names. Sirius comes from the Greek word scorching. But an interesting fact about Sirius is that in 1844, F.W. Bessel used an analysis of its motion to determine that it had a companion. A companion was confirmed by observations in 1862 and is now known to be a white dwarf called Sirius B. So you've got Sirius and you've got Sirius B. The companion has received considerable attention itself because it was the first white dwarf that was noticed. But Sirius B has always been outshined and in essence lives in the shadow of Sirius. Now, yes, I'm talking about stars. No, they don't have feelings. But the fact is that there are people just like that. Each one of us is just like that. They just seem to shine brighter with everyone around them. They just seem to shine and always get the attention. And then there are some of us who seem to be like Sirius B, who are the companion to that bright star, but never get the attention. We see some of these brighter stars throughout Scripture. I mean, if we really want to look at Scripture, we can see some of these stories that are just like this today. You know, in 1 Samuel 9:2, it says, "And he had a choice and a handsome son whose name was Saul. There was not a more handsome person than he among the children of Israel. From his shoulders upward, he was taller than any of the people." Saul stood out in a crowd. What was Saul? The first king. Because the people wanted a king, so they got the most intimidating. They got the most beautiful. They got the one that could stand out in a crowd. Not only did he have looks, but he was taller than everyone else. It says so right in the Scripture. I'm not just throwing this out there for just fun this morning. I'm saying Saul was a bright star among the people. He shone brighter than the others. I mean, he was a head taller than everyone else. It'd be like Tommy Burleson being named mayor here in Avery County of the entire county just because of his size. We know how big Tommy is. There's not another person that's within a head of him that I know of in Avery County. I mean, I just think it's when you walk up to him and you're looking like this, there's something intimidating about that man. And until you get to know him, you are intimidated by his size. We all have that within us. Smaller you are, the harder it is sometimes because things intimidate you. Now, is that a short joke? No. What that is just a way of life. Because in reality, I read somewhere that a study was done that proved that men working in sales and women working in sales, the taller they are, the more successful they were. Now, I can't remember where I read that. I worked in sales back 8 years ago when I was working for the radio station the first time, and I was doing sales, and these are numbers and things that they would tell us. That the better you presented yourself, the bigger you were, it seemed like people that work in sales, the more beautiful and tall they were, they got more sales because it was the physical appearance that attracted others to them. And that being said, you know, it's a selling advantage. 2 Samuel 14:25 says, "Now in all of Israel there was no one who was praised as much as Absalom for his good looks. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, there was no blemish in him." Now, again, another star that just shined a little brighter than others. Right here in the text, we have another situation of one of those circumstances. I'm going to read it out of the message this morning, verses 16 through 18, and I want you to hear this in a different translation because it might make a little more sense to you today. We might have missed it when I was reading it first. "Now Laban had two daughters. Leah was the older and Rachel the younger. Leah had nice eyes, but Rachel was stunningly beautiful." Did you catch it? It says, "And it was Rachel that Jacob loved. So Jacob answered, 'I will work for you 7 years for your younger daughter, Rachel.'" Now did you catch verse 17? Leah had nice eyes, but Rachel was stunningly beautiful. Rachel was a star. Rachel stood out among the crowd. Jacob picked her out. Jacob saw her, and there was something to her that Leah didn't have. Leah had, let's see, the New King James says, "Leah's eyes were delicate, but Rachel was beautiful of form and appearance." You know, that's a little easier to miss than Leah had nice eyes, but Rachel was stunningly beautiful. Rachel was a knockout. Rachel was a model. Rachel was gorgeous. Rachel was what every woman wanted to be. That's how it seems to read. And it's almost like there's an auction going on, and Jacob is saying, "Look, I will give you 7 years of service for your daughter. I would love to marry this daughter." Now, if we get deeper into the story, what we realize is that Laban wasn't really wanting to give Leah or Rachel up before Leah was given up. But can you imagine? You know, this is a wonderful circumstance if you were Rachel. But let's all look at this for a moment and realize we relate more to Leah than we do anyone else in this story. We relate to Leah today more than anybody else that's in this story. Why do we relate to Leah? Well, let's see. It's pretty hard to handle a circumstance like this. A man walks in and he asks for your sister's hand in marriage. Because, well, you got nice eyes, but your sister's so beautiful. Your sister's everything I want, but you got nice eyes. You know, can you imagine the conversations that took place there? The other problem with brighter stars is that they don't always shine gracefully. You know, they shine and they outshine everything around them. And it becomes something that we notice. And it becomes a circumstance where sometimes they don't always handle that with grace. You know, sometimes the advantage of natural appearances and abilities is made worse by this determination that we have to make sure that they know. Now, you know those people, the ones who they have everything going for them, and they make sure you know they have everything going for them. They make sure that you know that they are better than you. They make sure that they live it out right in front of your eyes so that you can see it. Now, I'm not saying this is what happened with Rachel and Leah. What I am saying, however, is that we do have examples in Scripture. But brighter stars can sometimes be very painful because not only do we have to deal with their glow, they want us to know that they know they're better. We know those people today. In 1 Samuel 1:6, we actually see a story about one where we see Hannah had to live in the shadow of a brighter star there. But what was made worse was this brighter star reminded Hannah of the circumstances. The brighter star reminded her that she was living in her shadow. Let me read 1:6. It says, "And her rival also provoked her severely to make her miserable because the Lord had closed her womb." You know, not only does Hannah have to live with the reminder daily that she is barren, the fact that she is being outshined by almost every woman that she comes into contact with, she has this one who is just picking and digging and making sure that she knows she's not as good. Do we have those people in our lives today? Do we have those that will pick and prod and will make you feel like you are nothing, like you are worthless, like you have nothing going for you, just simply because they know they are a brighter star? You know, if you're a bright star, I want to ask you this today. If you fit the mold of the brighter star in this story, I want to ask you to please live that out gracefully. Live that out gracefully. Why? Because you learning to be gracious to people who don't have what you have and can't do what you can, because God might just take away the brightness because of your selfishness. Because our brightness is not intended for us to flaunt. Our brightness is not there for us to make light of ourselves. Our brightness is not there so that others can feel bad about who they are. But if you are one that lives in the shadows, let's talk about living in those shadows for a moment. The real challenge is not living in the shadow, but it's how well we live in that shadow today. The real challenge as a Christian is that we are going to have to learn to handle the pain that life throws at us. We have to learn how to deal with those circumstances and those people who throw the success in our face. But we need to learn more than anything how to just deal with other people's circumstances, other people's success. It's not for us to get upset about. I mean, Jamie works in realty. If Jamie is constantly looking at everybody else's sales, is Jamie going to do a good job for himself? No. Because he's more worried about what his other coworkers are doing rather than worrying about putting his sale on the market. Now, there might be someone that sells 10 houses a month, and Jamie's only selling 5, and they might remind him of those 10 houses that they're selling. They might make him feel like he's not as good of a salesman. But then when you really break down the numbers, they're selling these little, smaller dollar houses, whereas Jamie makes 5 sales that added up to more than the 10 sales they made. Who's really shining brighter there? We can look at these circumstances. They're trying to make Jamie feel bad for what he's doing, but God's using the smaller. God's using the less to make more. Do you see where we're going with this today? Now, I've not actually had a conversation with Jamie. I don't know how that's going for him, but what I do know is that that's a really good example, because that's how life is. You know, in 1958, the Illinois legislature used an obscure statute to send Stephen A. Douglas. These names are familiar to you, I'm sure. Stephen A. Douglas was sent to the U.S. Senate after losing the popular vote to Abraham Lincoln. Why? Because of an obscure law. And although Lincoln had won the popular vote, a sympathetic friend asked Lincoln how he felt. And he said, "I feel like the boy who stubbed his toe, and I'm too big to cry, and too badly hurt to laugh." Now, if you think about that, that's really a candid statement. But in reality, shortly after this, Abraham Lincoln was elected president of the United States. You know, his life was met an unfortunate end. But reality here is that his perspective, he learned how to live in a shadow. Stephen A. Douglas was named the senator, based on some obscure law. And he simply said, like the boy who stubbed his toe, "I'm too big to cry and too badly hurt to laugh." The fact that there are brighter stars is not the real problem we face today. The problem is that we have to live in their shadows with a good attitude. There's those two words that nobody wants to hear anywhere, whether it's church, whether it's home, whether it's school, wherever it might be. You don't want to hear those two words today. Good attitude. Nobody wants to have a good attitude. We want to have our attitude. The problem is that our lives so often seem to be obscured by the brightness of the stars that not everyone seems to notice us. Not everyone seems to notice what we're doing. And the problem is that our lives seem so insignificant when it comes to lining them up next to the others. But the Bible tells us about comparison today. The Bible tells us about this comparison. 2 Corinthians 10:12 tells us about that. It says, "For we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." Did y'all catch that? It's a lot of words, a lot of alliteration there. But what it really comes down to is they only compare themselves based on themselves. And we're comparing to something that's not really a good measuring stick for anyone else. If Jamie's comparing his success based on somebody's numbers of sales, Jamie's not taking into consideration the fact that he's selling more monetarily. Now, is it about the money? No. But Jamie could get so wrapped up in seeing the numbers, seeing how many, seeing this number of houses go on somebody else's list, whereas what he's not realizing is that he's shining just as bright because his numbers monetarily match up. And he's sold less. But he's making the same. He's making an impact. It's all how you look at it. It's all in how you view it. It's all in how we realize that sometimes it's not the quantity, but the quality. Sometimes it's something different. But folks, there are people in this world who refuse to view the life that we live any differently than the world wants them to. I mean, if we really get down to it, let's talk about Jacob a few more times. Jacob, okay, Lamar and Brendan, do you have a favorite son? Okay, that's a good answer. I'm glad you said it that way. Because Jacob did. Genesis 37, we see the dawning of another one of these brighter stars, and it just so happens that he is the son of Rachel and Jacob. His name is Joseph. And the scripture says, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children." Why? Well, we could go back to the beginning where we talked about this in chapter 29. Joseph is the son of Rachel, so obviously he's going to find favor with Jacob because he is Rachel's son. But it's the way in which Jacob handled his family affair here that we need to look at. The problem with this is that it became the breeding ground for his children to hate one another. It became the breeding ground for problems and ill will, feeling back and forth with one another. It became the motive for a plot to kill Joseph. We know the story. We see it play out. You know, we pick it up again in verse 9. It says, "And then he dreamed still another dream and told it to his brothers and said, 'Look, I have dreamed another dream. And this time the sun, the moon, and the 11 stars bow down to me.'" There's that star shining brightly that's eclipsing everything else. Here we go with the eclipse part. It's eclipsing everything else, and the brothers envied him because of who he was. And not only was Joseph who he was, he decided, "Hey, I'm going to tell you these stories about my dreams." And they're like, "Your dreams are not lining up with what we want to hear." Joseph was the brighter star. He was the one that Jacob loved the most. He was the one. Now, Jacob shouldn't have done that, you know. It breeded something between the other brothers. But what we see in this even more so than that is this factor here. That not only did Jacob say he loved them more, what Jacob ended up seeing in this, what we end up seeing is the brothers envy him. But Joseph was the star that was making someone feel guilty for the life that they had. Because Joseph's saying, "Look, I'm the star and the sun and the moon, mom and dad, my brothers, y'all are going to bow down to me." The real challenge is not that there will be people who outshine you in life today. The real challenge is not that this life is going to have things that happen in that way. The issue is, how will it affect you today? how are you affected by the way others shine? Is it going to affect your heart? Is it something that is going to do your it's going to tear your character apart when you see that it's not how you want it to be? When we have to live in the shadow of another star. Does that affect you today? Is it going to be something that will inspire you? Is it something that will goad you to do better? Or that it will be something that will fill you with bitterness and envy? Are you going to be encouraged by how this happens? Or are you going to be torn down by what takes place? We don't want to downplay the difficulty of living in other people's shadows. And, you know, we've all heard about Jacob's shock. You know, we heard it right there in verse 25 when Jacob woke up and he didn't have Rachel next to him. I mean, they had the wedding feast, they had the party, they had everything. And then when the wedding happened, which the wedding is not what we talk about weddings today. This wedding was basically, here's my daughter. And he sends them in and they do their thing. And they wake up in the morning and they're married because it was the consummation of the relationship. When Jacob woke up in the morning, he had been deceived. First thing he did was go straight to Laban. Let's go back to the text now, and let's look at this. Now that I've given you some of this background, can you imagine what it was like for Leah that morning? Can you imagine how Leah felt being that Sirius B star to the Sirius star of Rachel? Well, let's look at it for a minute. Imagine the pain and rejection that she must have felt that first morning. After she had been married, she wakes up and she hears gasps and protests from her new husband. That's a little heartbreaking, don't you think? You got this marriage. But let's look at this other part of it. She might have had feelings of humiliation knowing that the night before, Jacob had made love to her, thinking that she was Rachel. All right? Think about her grief knowing that her own father was using her to get 7 more years of labor out of Jacob. Jacob had done a good job. He had worked quickly and swiftly because the end result that he wanted or that he desired and thought he was getting was Rachel. But think about the pain that she endured only a week later when Rachel was also given to Jacob. Because now she's beginning married life with a man that didn't want her, a man that didn't love her, and now she permanently has to live as a wife to the man who also is now marrying the brighter star and going to have that daily reminder day in and day out about her sister being better than her, living in her sister's shadow. She was the epitome of Sirius B in that story I told earlier. She was always in the shadow of this brighter, favored, younger sister. Living in the shadows can be a bitter experience that we have to deal with in life. Living in shadows can cause us bitterness and pain. It can be a cold, unrewarding place. Let's talk about the moon for a minute, since we're going to know a lot more about it over the next week. The moon is going to move into the path between the sun and the earth. And that's what's going to cause this eclipse. On the bright side of the moon, the temperature can get up to 107 degrees. That's the average, 107 degrees Celsius. That's a very hot temperature. Celsius and Fahrenheit, I mean, that's probably about, 100 degrees Celsius is boiling point of water. So that's 212 degrees. You're looking at about 230, 240 degrees Fahrenheit. All right. On the dark side of the moon, the temperature can drop to 153 below zero Celsius, which, again, doing the math, you're probably looking at 400 to 500 Fahrenheit. That is cold. That is very cold. I mean, the freezing point for us is what? Let's see, zero Celsius, so 32 Fahrenheit. So, yeah, you're looking at 153 degrees below that freezing point. And that's Celsius and 2.7. I don't know. My math's not on this point. I should have done the math before I tried to go that point. But what I'm saying is just being in the shadow, you would freeze to death in a matter of minutes. The question is, if you're living in the shadows, What are you going to do about it? How are you going to respond? If you were on the dark side of the moon, how would you respond to that? Hopefully you've got something to warm you up. You've got something that will keep you warm during that difficult time. If you're on the cold side of the church, there's jackets and blankets that are circulating. But it's how you respond to that. You have a jacket, you have a blanket, you have something that is causing you to stay warmer. But the real issue is, if you're living in the shadow of a brighter star, I want you to understand something today. God knows it. Do you hear me today? Do you understand that this morning? If you are living in the shadow of a brighter star, God knows it. God has allowed it to be this way, and God is aware of the circumstances that you are facing. He's aware of what you're going through, and He says it's okay. The truth is that we need to allow these things to get into our hearts, because it is God's design for us not to shine as bright as someone else. Now, we need to understand this today. I'm almost done. Please bear with me. Genesis 1:16, then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. God made both the bright stars and the lesser lights. He has a purpose for them all. There was a purpose for the stars, for the lesser lights, for the sun, for those things that we see in the night sky. God made both the bright stars, the lesser lights, and He gave them all a purpose. And I want you to understand, they were created to shine. They were created to shine. What we really need to understand here is that every one of us has been created by God to shine. Every one of us sitting in this room today has been created to shine. The truth is that there is someone who outshines us all. The Bible says in Revelation 22:16, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. If we all live in the shadow of this magnificent star, then we are all dull when compared to Him. This life isn't a competition for the most attention. It's not a competition for the most accolades, the most recognition. It's not a competition for the most praise. We're created not to shine for our own glory and for our own applause from men, but every gift that we have, everything that has been given to us today, has been meant for us to shine so that others can see God's glory in our lives. Please understand that today. Matthew 5:16, it says, let your light shine, so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. As Jesus says, the purpose of our shining isn't so that other people might notice us, but that other people might notice God. Let your light shine so that others can see the good that God is doing in your life, and therefore glorify Him. It doesn't say to live out your life so that everyone can praise you. It says live out your life the way that God gives it to live, so that they will glorify Him. We're not even supposed to get the praise. So why are we so worried when someone else does? Why are we so worried when somebody else seems to have it just a little bit better than us? Because the thing that we notice today in this, the real encouragement in the story, if we just shine like we were created to shine, God will see us because He's getting the glory. God will see you. He will see you in the middle of what you think is your dull and boring life. There's no doubt about the fact that Rachel was the one that Jacob wanted, the one that got the most attention, the one that garnered the favor, the one that got the praise. But God saw Leah, because if we listen to how the story progressed from here, and I'll be done in like 2 minutes. It says, when the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So Leah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Reuben, for she said, the Lord has surely looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, because the Lord has heard that I am unloved, He has therefore given me this son also. And she called his name Simeon. She conceived again and bore a son and said, now this time my husband will become attached to me because I have borne him three sons. Therefore his name was called Levi. And she conceived again and bore a son and said, now I will praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah. Leah was the mother of this. These are the 12 tribes of Jacob. These are the 12 tribes of Israel. These are the ones who were to come, who were the promise. If you can't do anything about brighter stars, and sometimes it's painful to be living in their shadow, but you need to understand you can shine as brightly as possible by doing right, by obeying God, by being a godly person, and you will be seen by God. Leah was seen by God. Philippians 2, 14 and 15 says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. I want to offer one final truth to you this morning. No matter how much you are outshone in your life, no matter how much everything around you seems to be brighter than you, Jesus sees you today. He sees you where you are. He sees what you're doing, and he sees the life you're living. As the disciples were gathering to Jesus in the beginning of his early ministry, this earthly ministry that he had, there was a story, and it's funny, we come back to Philip. It's a different Philip, I think. But this is Philip and Nathanael. And it says in John chapter 1, Philip found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And then in John 1, 47 and 48, it says, Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said of him, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no deceit. Nathanael said to him, how do you know me? And Jesus answered and said to him, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. Jesus said to Nathanael, I saw you. And here is the truth that I want you to see today, that if you are one of the lesser lights, if you are one of the ones that doesn't shine so bright, he sees you. He sees you where you are. He sees the struggles you're facing. He knows that sometimes you feel like you've been eclipsed by this world, that sometimes you feel eclipsed by a bigger star, that sometimes you feel like you're living in the shadows of someone else. But today, he sees you. He sees you where you are. He sees what you're doing. He sees the problems that you face. He sees the struggles that you deal with. And he knows. But he's not going to do anything about it because he created you to shine for him. How are you handling those circumstances? He will guide you through them if we just allow him to do that. If we trust him enough to show us the way to go, we can get through the circumstances today. But what I need you to understand is this. Jesus loves you. He's the star that we should all be trying to compare ourselves to. But next week, what we're going to end up getting into talking about over the next couple of weeks, at some point we're going to end up talking about the moon a little bit more in detail. And the fact that the moon simply reflects, but it's still the brightest thing we see in the night sky. But as we look at all of this coming together, what I need you to really understand is this. Sometimes we don't understand. Sometimes we don't get it. Sometimes we feel like we are nothing. We feel like we are nothing but this light that's trying to shine, but we keep getting put out. But God sees you because you are shining. He sees you because you are putting forth an effort. And he wants you to understand that he saw you before anybody else did. Because when Nathanael was sitting under the fig tree, Jesus said, I saw you. He said, before Philip called you, before he came to you and said, this is the Savior, before he came and any of this happened, you were sitting under a fig tree and you were looking and you were studying and you were trying to be who you are, because Jesus had said to him, what did he say as he walked up? Here comes one with no deceit. Here comes an Israelite with no deceit. Jesus had seen Nathanael. Not because Nathanael was trying to bring attention to himself, but because he was trying to bring attention to God. Can you bring attention to God today?
comes out this morning, it doesn't matter who you are. He only wants you one way. And that's as who you are. Simple as that. He wants you just who you are. He wants you to be who He created you to be. So let's open up, let's sing one verse, 201. I'm not even going to get the guitar, we'll just sing a cappella.